Blog Talk Radio.
Kalani on the beat.
Sisters told me don't hear bless this beat. Why y'all fascinated by this closet freak? Now I'm not judging, just don't think it's cute. I heal him like Lauren gave me the alley. To Allah, all my praises due. To Mama, all my love is true. To fake phonies, wannabes, you better off just being you. Stay true, that's the motto, that's the game plan. No politicking with this puppet woman or that man. My sister told me, go ahead, bless this beat. Farrakhan said, don't do it for the vanity. Paint for world inside these women. It's some hurting girl before you call her thotty. Check what led to her insanity. There's a reason for everything. Stay clean above suspicions where you'll find me. Above suspicions where you'll find me. Homeboy wanna ride, hop up in the backseat. I'm the prize and I love him mucho. Passion, pain, hard work to be numero uno. Comfort zone has to get out my comfort zone. The heart is in the home, but the money is in who do you know? I'm talking friendships and all walks. No new friends, that's how a fool talks. I'm trying to walk like a Jesus walked. And if I'm not the one, please God, let me be the spark in them. That's what Tupac said. My only mission is resurrect the mentally dead. Starting with me, so I spit the truth hard. Cause the spittle spit opens eyes, vision,
shy. You know, I never want to condescend. There are a lot of people who condescend to the audience. You know, they just think, oh, they like anything. Just throw a beat on it and put your voice on it. But if it doesn't move me, then I don't think it's worthy enough to put out there and move someone else. You know what I mean? Like, it has to be something that is personally, you know, is something that I need personally. That's my barometer for whether or not it's good for the people. Not just anything. Just, you know, just make a beat, it's hot, throw it out there. You know, that I can't use that barometer. That doesn't work with
that
me.
That doesn't work with me.
Peace and love. Welcome to the Initiative Radio Network. Tonight, we're having, we're going to listen to the minister and possibly be discussing what we hear. Brother Maurice may be able to join us for further discussion. But until then, we're going to put on a minister lecture and hope everyone enjoy it. And thank you so much. Right now, we're going to take a commercial break. Thank you.
Just Us Youth Organization is on a mission to help eliminate the term at-risk youth by providing STEM, which means science, technology, engineering, mathematics, and entrepreneurship education through programs that encourage positive social development, increase educational opportunities, and economic security via media outlets. Our innovative TV show, Stay Focused Youth, is based on youth interviewing STEM professionals and business owners in their work environment. By becoming a youth, adult, or business member of the Just Us Youth Organization, you can receive discounted products and services from 33web.com. Receive free advertising for your business or organization through our many donation options. Sponsor a student e-portfolio that highlights academic achievement and talent and have your logo displayed on their site as a supporter. As a sponsor, you can be interviewed on Stay Focused Youth TV and you'll receive recognition and logo placement on our website and social media. We also provide a vehicle safety seminar and workshop along with How to Extend Your Car Life book. If you would like to help our youth stay focused and inspired to become future leaders in the STEM and entrepreneurship field, or if you would like to purchase a How to Extend Your Car Life book, please contact the founder and president, Mr. Jonathan Smith, at 242-423-6539 at 701-639-0190 or email him at JESUSTV33 studentepropolio@gmail.com. Find out how to get involved with a student ePropolio today. Please visit our website at www.jes-us.org.
The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, please receive him and the message that Allah has put on his heart for us today.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, we give him praise and thanks for his mercy and his goodness, for the prophets that he brought and the scriptures that he sent down with them, that they may guide an errant member of the human family back to the path of God. We thank him for Moses and the Old Testament. We thank him for Jesus and the Gospel. We thank him for Muhammad and the Quran. Peace be upon these worthy servants of Allah. I am very, very thankful to be inspired to come to be with you again today. I guess my message on Friday was a bit much for the weak and the hypocrites, which I said I would drive from among us. When Gideon was about to go into battle, he had to fight 60,000 people, according to the book. And I think he had 3,000 soldiers. And 3,000 against 60,000 is a big number. So he was ready to go into battle, and the God said, "No, no, no, don't go yet. Take them down by the river. And if they take water up in a certain manner, then you know that they're not with you. Separate them." So from 3,000, he separated down to 300. And 300 fearless men went against 60,000 and overcame them because they were the right heart, the right spirit. And God did not want weak ones and hypocrites among them, as the enemy was in front of them, and God wanted to defeat the enemy and give the victory to that which didn't think it could overcome the enemy. But you will always overcome your enemy when your heart and your mind is right and God is with you. So I want you to make a note of those who were here Friday that are not here today and hold them to the side. I'm not playing with you. Because I'm not dependent on none. When a man depends on God, who else is there for him to depend on? I was sitting in the back listening, and tears were falling from my eyes when I listened to my young brother and my young sister and Brother Jason. Because when a man works for 52 years, and a man before him worked that taught him, and I'm speaking of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, it warmed my heart to hear two young people coming out of their mouths with wisdom to these young men and young women who represent the present and the future of a people, but a youth that is being destroyed. So my subject is the third part. It's called Justifiable Homicide, Black Youth in Peril. The American gangster, an executive decision. I'm going to start today with Quran and Bible, and I thank Brother Jason for reading from the words of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, because poison is medicine in the hand of a doctor. God help those who use it and they're not doctors. Our people are sick, and on every corner there's a church, and in between the church and the corner there's drugs, prostitution, filth, and degeneracy of every kind. So we're not being effective preaching the gospel as it has been preached. It's great. Don't get me wrong. We have some of the finest preachers that have ever walked among human beings. But if you're not preaching today to liberate the minds of our people and all people who have been enslaved by a misinterpretation of Scripture, because Satan could never have ruled as many people as he rules through religion if he didn't misinterpret the Word of God. That's why in the Quran, Satan says, I will come after them in thy straight path. The straight path of God is his word. So if Satan is going to come right through the word to deceive the people, and the book said, Satan deceived who? The whole world. Well, are you among the deceived? Are we among the deceived? Look at our condition. Our condition says something is wrong. In the Quran, it reads, And when thy Lord said to the angels, I am going to place a ruler in the earth. Let's stop for a minute. He's going to place a ruler in the earth. Well, the earth was already here. People had to already have been here because he's not evolving them, he's placing them. It's a big difference. I'm going to place a ruler in the earth. And they said, these are the angels, will you place in it such as make mischief in it and shed blood? And we celebrate your praise and extol your holiness. We know you're a holy God. We are praising you for your holiness, but what is this that you're about to do? You're going to place a ruler in the earth that is going to make mischief in the earth and shed blood. And Allah answered, saying, surely I know what you know not. That's Quran. Now let's go to the Bible and then we'll go down this road with your help. Now, the Bible, in the book of Genesis, is called the first book of Moses. And they give a date, 4004 B.C. Well, if we're in 2000 A.D., then 4,000 B.C. is 6,000 years ago. Now, 6,000 years ago is not the beginning of the human family. It's the beginning of a ruler that is going to be placed in the earth to create mischief and cause the shedding of blood. This new ruler is called Adam. Now, white folks today are changing dictionaries because we are using the language to defeat him, so he makes a little twist and turn. I'm going to give you an example. Brother Malcolm, when he awakened, the first thing that Brother Malcolm started reading was what? The dictionary. And Malcolm became a master of words, but he hadn't gone to the eighth grade. He just completed the eighth grade. Showing you that your mastery of things is not necessarily in the schools of your enemy. Your mastery of things is to become acquainted with your God and the wisdom of God that is being given to you that you heard coming out of these two young people who are your peers. You really touched me because it gives me hope that the future is bright. Because in these two is every one of these young people, boys and girls, that are here. These young people are not greater than you. They just came ahead of you to the table of wisdom. And that table has been spread out for you. Now, let's look at this. See, they used to have a term called pre-Adamite. You don't see that in the dictionary now. You get pre, you get Adam, but you don't get pre-Adamite. Because once you think Adam is the first human, you don't go beyond Adam. But once you know people were on the earth before Adam, then you want to know what people were here before Adam. Because those are the people that the ruler is going to rule. And the pre-Adamite is called the aboriginal people of the earth. In the old dictionaries, the aboriginals were always the native people, non-Europeans. Did you hear me? I'll say it again. The aboriginals in the old dictionaries were the native people of our planet, non-Europeans. Well, if you are a non-European, aren't you? Then you are connected to and are from the aboriginal people of the earth, who are going to be subjected to a ruler who's going to create mischief among you and cause the shedding of blood. The aboriginal people are the dark people of our planet. Ab, the prefix ab is Latin. It means from or away from. Origin means the beginning. You, as a member of the aboriginal people of the earth, we don't know how old we are. There is no birth record to the black man. When you look in the book of Daniel, he said he saw the Ancient of Days seated on the throne. Ancient of Days, he didn't say how ancient, but it was ancient. He had hair like lamb's wool. He had feet like burnished brass. But he was sitting on the throne. That's your future. And the enemy knows that one day soon, God is going to put you back on the throne. So the enemy is working to destroy you so that you will never fulfill your destiny. Now, excuse me for getting excited. Now, this Adam is a strange dude, because God talks to this fella and tells him, you can eat of everything here, but this tree, don't touch it. Now, brothers, if God told you something to do and something not to do, think about it. What would you do? But Adam, he rebelled against God. So in Adam's rebellion, sin began. Sin is rebellion against the God of righteousness. The Aboriginal people didn't do that. But this new man on our planet was a rebel against God. And once you rebel against God, you rebel against life. Because God and his way and his law and his word is life itself. But once you start rebelling against God, you set up the culture of death. All right. Now, preachers, I want to talk with you because I want to help you. You're great men and great women. Yes, you are. And I'm in love with you because you try to give the people the word of God. And if I can help you from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to make the Bible make sense, then you will not only be preaching, but you'll be teaching. And if the scripture says my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, then it's teaching that they need more than preaching. All right, now, a culture of death. Now, on my way here, I was sitting in the vehicle and thinking, how would I start the lecture today? And I thought of life and I thought of death, because the enemy has put death on our youth. And our youth are a part of a culture of death. It's not your fault. I'm going to take all the blame away from you today, but I'm going to put it where it belongs. But after I show you that you are not responsible, then don't go back to that behavior, because then you will be responsible and then a penalty will come against you. Now, this rebellion set up a culture of death. What is death? What is life? In the Bible, when Moses came to the children of Israel, he said, I set before you two signs, one of life, one of death. Choose life, that you and your seed may live. What is life? You got it, I got it. But do we really have life? See, life is activity in accord with the nature of our creation. Lions have life. As long as they're living the way God created a lion to be, then he's acting in accord with his nature. So you ain't going to jump in no den with no lion. I mean, the Hebrew boys did, but you need to understand that one before you jump in with some lion. You know, these illusionists do things and they tell you, don't you try this. Because this is a trick, but if you don't know how to do the trick, don't do that. So don't you go running into no lion den talking about you the Hebrew boys. You might come up with the past tense, I was. Now, life is in every creature that acts in accord with its nature. Death starts when you take a creature away from its natural course. That's when death starts. I'll follow this now. If you are the aboriginal people of the earth, how did you live before the white man came? I'm just going to deal straight. I ain't got no time to sugarcoat nothing. How did black people live before the white man came? If you let him tell your story, you were swinging in trees. But if you were swinging in trees, how did you build his mansions in the south? How did you lay the roads? How did you become so great when he denied you the right to know? Where did your building skills come from? You already were a builder, brother. And we lived in accord with God and the nature of our creation before an enemy came. Preacher, the Bible says, as by one man, not one spook, not one spirit, but as by one man, sin entered into the world. See, the world was already operating. People were already here. But as by one man, sin entered in, I'm going to place a ruler in there. And he's going to create mischief and cause the shedding of blood. Well, when he placed that ruler, as by one man sin entered. What is sin? Transgression of the law. Rebellion against God is sin. Well, you didn't do that. Adam did that. So the Bible says, as that one man brought sin, then death came by sin. And death has passed to all men, for all men now have sinned. All are in rebellion because a ruler that you would be bound to follow is a rebel. That's why God is hard on leaders. Because if any man would be your leader and he's a rebellion person against God, then what will you be who follow him? So the Caucasian has been our ruler. And he has always been a rebel against God. Follow this. As by one man sin entered into the world, and death came by sin, and all men have sinned, so death has passed to all men. Now the mischief begins. See, right now, brothers, it's mischievous for you to be a BD, a GD, another gangster, whatever you call yourself, and you hate your brother. See, that's mischief, because you all are brothers. How did you get to hate each other? Because one wears one color, one wears another, one gives one gang sign, one gives another. See, the enemy is making mischief among us, and what is it causing? Is it causing peace? Is it causing brotherhood? Or is it causing the shedding of blood? Don't feel bad. Because this ruler has caused the shedding of blood throughout the earth. He's put Muslims, Christians, and Jews against each other. He come right in the straight path. He put Buddhists, Hindus. I'm just dealing with religious people now. But here are people that believe in God, and they're killing one another in God's name. Huh? Now there's all these political things. One is a Democrat, one is a socialist, one is a communist, one is this or that. And these political parties, these political entities are at odds with each other. Some are rich, some are poor, some are white, some are black, some are educated, some are uneducated. But we're all confused, fighting each other. What will you create in the earth but that which will create mischief and cause the shedding of blood? Well, who is this dude? Who is he? Who is this Adam and his children? He said, I'm going to give you dominion over the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and every creeping thing that crawls. You don't have it, but the white man has it. And in his dominion over everything, he has poisoned the air, the water, the land. Talk to me. Oh, God, I'm a little afraid now. This man teaching hate. Stop it. Stop. I'm too intelligent for that. It is not about teaching somebody to hate somebody. It's about teaching you to know who the ruler is that put you at odds with yourself, with your brother, and with God. Now, he has dominion and power. In the Genesis, he comes in as Adam and a serpent. Jesus is having a fight with some of them in the book of John, the 8th chapter and the 44th verse. And this argument, you know, started in the 39th verse. Jesus is talking to some Jews. Now, this is not anti-Semitism. I'm sorry. This is your Bible. The Bible. The Bible. Now, if they don't like that, then naturally they're going to try to change it. Jesus was talking to the Jews, and he said to them, I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me. See, his murder now. But this isn't just some murder. This is murder of a human being whom God sent into the world to remove the curse of Adam and death and bring all back to God. This is Jesus. Jesus said, you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. Ooh. And you think about a man from God in whom God is indwelling in Jesus. And Jesus is telling some people that the word out of his mouth has no place in them. Then if it is the word that will bring life from death, and if a people don't want to listen to that word, then they are death itself. Jesus went on, I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which you have seen with your Father. Now, in this argument that Jesus is making with the Jews of his day, he recognizes his Father, but he also recognizes they are coming from a different Father. And he says, and they answered and said unto him, if you were Abraham, no, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Now they want to claim the friend of God as their father. And Jesus came back with a heck of an answer. He said, yeah. He said, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. And then he comes back again. But now you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth. How would you know that they don't belong to Abraham? The Quran says Abraham was not a Christian, nor was he a Jew. He was an upright man, and he was not of the polytheists. So when you see people worshiping many gods, when you see people not living an upright life, but claim Abraham, they are liars. And so Jesus said, no. If you were Abraham's seed, you would do the works of Abraham, but now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Now, whenever you trap the enemy, and I'm going to point out, I'm going to make it real clear today. Whenever you come at the enemy and point him out, look at how he comes back at Jesus. See, he don't take it lying down. Don't expect that today. So he comes back at Jesus. He said, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. So they're going to drop that lug on Jesus about his birth, because it was, quote unquote, a virgin birth. But they accused Jesus of being a bastard. Come on! So what that says is, anything that the enemy knows about you or me or us, when you put the light on them, they're going to come back. I saw you smoking crack. I saw you fornicating. I saw you freaking. I saw you do this. Yeah, you did. But whatever I did, it was because you were the ruler and I was following you and your filth and your indecency. Then Jesus said, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. What was the scripture? Send us a defender. These weak-kneed Negro leaders are not your defender. If they are too weak to point out your real enemy, they can never be your defender. And Jesus said, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you cannot understand my word, because my word has no place in you. See, when I speak to you like I spoke on Friday, and you can't take it because it illuminates you to yourself. You gotta leave here and go somewhere and check now whether you want to come back to hell with you. You don't ever have to come back to hear what I say, but you will meet it in the chastisement of Allah. Every hypocrite in these ranks, every disbeliever and enemy, I'm going to put so much fire on you till this is not going to be a pleasant place for you to be like it has been. I'm going on. I'm still with this argument with Jesus now. But Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil. See, so some of these dudes are hiding among us like God is their father. God really is your father, but you have not been acquainted with your father. You've been acquainted with a stand-in that has been a no good ruler who has ruled us with evil and wickedness and oppression. I'm talking about your former slave masters and their children. He was a liar from the beginning, Jesus said, and a murderer. We get back to that word murder. I'm coming home. And he abode not in the truth. He didn't abide in the truth because there is no truth in him. How are you going to let a man lead you? There ain't no truth in him. How are you going to accept the call of Bush to go fight and die in Afghanistan when he's a liar and a murderer? I'm going there today. You don't want to see the Confederate flag flying. You don't want to see that flag, that Confederate flag, that racist flag that represents the slavery and the lynching of black people. Then how in the hell can you stand up and pledge allegiance to a flag under which your fathers have suffered and you are still suffering? Talk back to me. Oh my God. Oh my God. Farrakhan. What are you saying, Farrakhan? How can I be a defender of you and not offend that which has offended you? When the Pledge of Allegiance is sounded, I stand to attention to respect the flag of an independent people. I don't put my hand over my heart. And when I was just a little boy, my beautiful black mother, I'm light-skinned, as they would say, but my mother was a black woman. My father was a high yellow black man with curly hair. You know how black women like these high yellow men with curly hair. But my father was a follower of Marcus Garvey. My mother was on the fringe, but here's what mama told me when I went to school. She said, son, stand up when the Pledge of Allegiance is said, and here's the way I want you to say it. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. Where did it go? And to the republic for which it stands. One nation. When I was young, they didn't say under God. They just put that in recently. It was one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for white. For white. For white. For white. For white. Never for all. Now, you that are frightened by what I'm saying, I understand. No. I really understand. See, the frightened ones, you are from 40 to 60. I understand. You are fashioned by Pharaoh. So a part of him is you. I understand. That's why the assault is not on the elders. The assault is on the young. I'll get to that in a minute. So, Jesus hit them hard. Now, if we go to Revelations, I think it's the 12th chapter, I believe. Let's see where it is. Yes, it's the 13th chapter, the 18th verse. John the Revelator saying, Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. Six hundred 366. So we're not dealing with something you can't see. You're dealing with something that is real, that is causing all this turmoil, this mischief, and this bloodshedding. Count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. I'm going to break down in a future lecture these three sixes. Preacher, come on out. See, and here, a divine interpretation of the scripture. You see, I never went to theological seminaries. Unfortunately, or fortunately, I didn't graduate from college. But I'm listened to all over the world, not because I'm smart, but I was smart enough to recognize a supreme teacher, and I let Elijah Muhammad teach me. Now, he gave us the meaning of these three sixes, which is not necessary today. But let's go over now to Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians. So I want you to see what Paul has to say about this dude that's been raising all this hell. Just give me a minute. I said Thessalonians, right? Yeah. I'll find it in a minute. I can quote it, but it's always nice if you can quote it perfectly from what you're looking at. Oh my, I must have missed it. Well, let me just quote it because I don't have time. But when you go home, huh? If you have your Bible, 2 Thessalonians. I think it's the second chapter. It says earlier in that, before you get to the ninth verse, he says, but that day, the day of judgment, shall not come except there be a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. See, the devil and Satan have been covered up. Cain was the first murderer in the Genesis. And after he murdered his brother, a mark was put on Cain. Because Cain said, every man that see me will slay me. Well, it don't take but one man to do the job if Cain only represented one man. Why does Muhammad and any Muslim murder the devil? See? He put a mark on him. Meaning, until that day comes when God comes on the scene and reveals Satan, nobody could know who he was. Therefore, he was free to go throughout the earth deceiving the whole planet. Now, Then it says, whom the Lord will consume and destroy with the brightness of his coming, and consume him with the word from his mouth. See? When God comes, his duty is to expose the devil and expose himself so that the people can choose. But he's going to be eaten up, Satan, by the power of a word that comes out of the mouth of a messenger that God would send to the people. Now, you remember when I talked about the beast being a man? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said one of the worst names you could give for a human being is to call a human being a beast. Yet in the book of Revelation, there were four beasts. And there was a people that had the mark of the beast in their forehead and in their hands. What mark are we under? Listen. What mark are we under that our forehead, which is the manifestation of what we think and what we know, but our hands are the manifestation of that thinking. So if the mark of the beast was in their forehead, how would you know it until you looked at the works of their hands? Now, when I go in the hood, the best generation we ever produced, these young men, these young girls, you're the finest generation that we've ever had. And because you are the finest generation is because you are under attack. Now watch how this plays out. See, when you look at Bloods and Crips killing each other, that's the mark of something in their head that's manifested in their hands. Your hands are the doers of your thoughts. Sisters, my young sister, talk to you from the Quran about the devil as he seduced your parents in the garden, pulling off from them their clothing that he might show them their shame. See, as a young girl or old woman, there's a certain shyness that should accompany you. When I was young, no decent woman would put her underwear on a clothesline for a strange man to see her underwear. Am I lying? When women wash their personals, they wash them and dry them even out of the presence of their father and their brothers, much less their uncles and their grandfathers. But today, your drawers are on display. Come on, no, they're serious. You put on some see-through clothes, and naturally we got eyes. We really trying to see through. Like the Masonic says when he reached the 32nd degree, I spied Mecca. Say, Lord, I spied the Holy Land. And you want him to find what nature wants you to hide from any man that hasn't made a commitment to you, that he will honor in marriage. So now they don't make pants anymore like they used to make them. They make them hugging your hips with your navel out, exposed, you know. Then you don't even wear a brassiere, you know. Shake it up, baby. And you driving these brothers insane. Then you put the pants on so tight, ain't nothing left to his imagination. And what does this happen? What happens to him? He ain't thinking sane. Damn, Joe, did you see that? She sure is fine. I'm gonna go over and talk to her. Then when he come over and say, "Hey, baby, shake that thing. How dare you talk to me like that? You must think you talking to a prostitute." Hell yeah. If you gonna dress like a whore, what else are they gonna think? Take a little water to cool this down. I'm almost there. Now, I want to take you to Revelations 2 and 9. Because Revelation 2 and 9 is a very central scripture that the enemy is frightened to death that Farrakhan is revealing. He says, John the Revelator talking, he said, "I know your works and your tribulation and your poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan." Now, Jesus had that argument with them fellas back there. We got an argument today with those fellas up here. If you criticize the way they're treating the Palestinians, you're an anti-Semite. Now, that used to be mine exclusively. That's fair, Ken. He's an anti-Semite. Jimmy Carter, former president of the United States, wrote a book, Peace, you know, not apartheid, criticizing Jewish behavior toward the Palestinians. What did they say of Jimmy Carter? What did they say? What did they call him? Oh, I'm getting a president for company. At normal intervals, dress right. So, Bishop Tutu Have you heard of Tutu? To the young brothers that are here, he's a South African bishop. There's not an anti-Semitic bone in his body. But he visited Israel, occupied Palestine, and he saw what they were doing to the Palestinians, and he said it reminded him of our suffering in South Africa under apartheid. And the moment he said it, but he spoke the truth, they said Bishop Tutu was an anti-Semite and disinvited him from speaking on college campuses. Well, they stopped me from speaking a long time ago because that's the power that they have over particularly black colleges. And many white ones too. Well, every day the company that is with Farrakhan in the school of quote unquote anti-Semitism is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I'm not an anti-Semite. I know that there are good Jewish people. I'm not busy looking for them. But I know that they exist. And until they come out of the woodwork against the no good members of their family, then I have to say, well, I don't know where you are, but I know you're out there because the Bible and Quran says you're out there. Now, the last scripture of the Bible that I will quote is this one. Paul talking. We war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. Rulers. I'm going to place a ruler in the earth. Who are these rulers? See, it's a group of families. Families that marry into each other and preserve and protect their exclusive standing while they manipulate the masses, black, white, brown, and yellow, for their purposes. In our lessons, the question is asked, who are the 85%? Who are the 10%? And who are the 5%? See, the 85% are the poison animal eaters. They're pig eaters. They not only eat the poison of the flesh, but they are poisoned mentally by the false education, false interpretation given to them by the arch deceiver. They don't understand the law of cause and effect. The cause is real, but they think, the effect is real, but they think the cause is a mystery. The 10%, these are they who know the law and know that God is not a mystery. And they are the blood suckers of the poor. They keep the poor ignorant, no matter what your color is, so that this ruling clique will master not only white people of ignorance, but people all over the planet, no matter their color. Now, you don't know anything about the Rothschilds, the DuPonts, the Rockefellers. These are families. I don't have time today to break all of this down, but Rothschild is a Jewish banker. These are dudes that don't care who's in power as long as they control the money. They control the politics. Watch this. Now, I'm going to come out before this series is over, before Savior's Day. And I'm going to invite Christians and Jews to a big meeting. And I'm going after this. See, this is like throwing down the gauntlet. But if God be God, why not call him out for the fight? He's already fighting, but to really get him going is when the enemy thinks he can't take the truth no more and begins to attack the righteous. That's why we want all weak-hearted hypocrites out of here. Now, y'all know who you are across the nation, but I'm not coming no weaker. I'm coming stronger and stronger and stronger so that the righteous may get stronger and stronger and stronger. Now, these rulers, I only need one helper, but I got two. And then the rest of you can fall in line after that. But I know the two that I can rely on. I hope I'll be able to rely on you. Now listen to this. I'm about to end this, but it's so much detail. I'm going to really need your attention. Now look. See these beautiful young men and women that are with us today? Dear elders, I'm an elder too. In one sense, you know what I mean? But, you know, nobody older than God. He's older than dirt. But he's fresh in every generation. So when you're with God, you don't get old. Because you have life. See, life is obedience to the nature of God and the nature in which you created. That's eternal life. I'm in that. You can kill my body. But what I am, I'll come back from the grave and eat your behind alive. Did you hear what I said? As long as a young woman and a young man will hold on to the handle of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I can never die. Now, I want to talk specifically to the youth, but I want the elders to listen. See, in the Bible, there was something wrong with the elders of the children of Israel. See, they were made by Pharaoh. And they had Pharaoh's mind.
And it made them difficult for them to hear Moses.
And even the elders that heard Moses and went out with Moses in the wilderness, they were twicks and tween. Some of them wanted to go back under Pharaoh because it was difficult in the wilderness. And then when they spied out the land that God was going to give the children of Israel for their inheritance, the elders said, "Hey, there's some giants over there in that land. And Moses, Aaron, you and your God, go and clean them out. Then we'll go in." See, but what God wanted to do, he wanted to whip the giants to prove to the world that I don't care how big they are. My brother sang a song, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. Huh? God wanted to bring the giants down. And he wanted to use the children of Israel as his battering ram. So the elders said, "Well, I tell you what. It's been nice knowing you, Moses. Really had a good ride with you. But we ain't going no further if you're going in there with them giants." So God communicated to Moses and said, "Take the youth and let them go in, and they will inhabit the promised land." So the young were, as brother said, they were the generation of the Messiah. And they were made tough and hard. Because the time don't demand no punk. The time demands a heart that is tired of the evil and is willing to follow God. And the ancestors that bore them will be. I suffered. They hung me. They burned me. They castrated me. Lord, they did all of that. But look, I got a generation that ain't afraid no more. I got a generation that's ready to inhabit the promised land. Now watch how this goes. Now we'll leave Moses, come up to Jesus, then I'm going to get the rulers. The rulers. And an executive decision that the government of the United States has made against us. And an executive decision that God has made against them. This is the tie-up of this subject. Now, Jesus tells the disciples, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of God." Just think about that. Satan and death and rebellion have covered the earth. But Jesus comes in, this Jesus that I know, comes into the world, and he is calling the youth. Suffer the little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of God. Well, if you were Satan, and Satan heard that invitation, Satan say, yeah, he's after them young people. And those young people, with the wisdom of Jesus, they're going to overcome me and build a new world. So before he can get to them, I'm going to get to them. Now, the enemy's target is this. See? I'm going to make you feel, because I'm going to socially engineer the way you think. I'm going to take your mother out of the house and put you in a daycare center. And when it's natural for you to bond to your mother through the milk in her breast, I'm going to ask her to dry up the milk in her breast and give the baby what I produce, which is a formula that can never equal breast milk. And I'll put it in a baby bottle of plastic and make the baby, instead of crying for mama, clawing at her clothes to get to her breast, which is his natural feeding place, he'll be crying for plastic in which is contained a false milk. That's the journey now that Satan is making a cold-hearted youth. But he don't know he's making a cold-hearted youth, so that when God gets to guiding him, he won't love neither silver nor gold. I'll get to that scripture in another time. Look, brothers, right now, you have been nurtured in a way where you don't have real human feelings. If you go to the prison, Cook County Jail, some of us have been there, and you talk to penologists, those who are over the penal system, they will tell you that the coldest criminals that they have ever seen are the youth, particularly black and Hispanic young people. Even young white people are like that, but the black and the Hispanic, the way we kill, I mean, the thought of murder, man, it's just there with us. We don't mind busting a cap in nobody. And the old God gang leaders say, man, it's these shorties, man. These cats here, they'll bust a cap in you quicker than you can say Hail Mary. That's you, the mark, remember, of the beast in the forehead and in the hands. She's cold too. So today, young girls are vicious. When you all get to fighting, I mean, it's like You want to kill. See, murder is in the atmosphere. Murder is the order of the day. Murder is our way of life. You say, oh, not me. How come 40% of all abortions are by black girls and black women? What is abortion but another form of murder? And look how we get around it in our consciousness. I don't need no baby right now. I'm going to school. Why? I can't take care of no baby. Well, you should have thought about that. See, but the enemy is engineering your sexual life. Little babies are into sexual things. This is the climate. And our youth are caught up in it. And when you change serious rap to gangster rap and have our black women undressed, putting their behind in the camera and shaking it in the face of the world. So that when a man looks at you, he don't see intelligence, though you have it. He doesn't see the beauty of you. You have it. He sees boobs and butt, and he'll take your boobs and he'll take your butt, and after he flattens your boobs and rearranges your butt, he'll move on to the next one. Am I lying? So my sister said they're using you to destroy him. So they got us now. And poor Jesus, he wants the young because he sees in them the future. But Satan is busy. How many of you have seen the movie American Gangster? How many of you have the DVD already? Okay, how many of you have seen BET, American Gangster? Raise your hand. Do you think this is an accident? There's no accident, brother. Do you know some of these satanic Jews have taken over BET? They took it away from Bob Johnson. They gave him an offer that he couldn't refuse. They got Essence. They got BET. They got our hair product people. They got Motown. Everything that we built, they got it. But the mind of Satan now is running the record industry, running the movie industry, running television. How many of you saw The Kings of Comedy? Talk to me. Raise them. Come on. I'll raise my hand.
My children brought that to me. I don't know nothing about the king. They said, Daddy, you need to watch this. There was Bernie Mac. There was Steve Harvey. There was Cedric the Entertainer. There was Hughley. Kings of comedy. Now, when I saw the four of them traveling the country as the kings of comedy, and they made a movie of it. If you listen to the kings of comedy, you hear raw filth, of course, but you also hear intelligence that raises the conscience of the young people who are laughing, grooving, and growing. Who wrote Cedric the Entertainer's comedy? Cedric did. Who wrote Steve Harvey's work? Steve did. Who wrote Hughley's stuff? Hughley did. Who wrote Bernie Mac's stuff? Bernie did. So the satanic Jews said, these are some conscious Negroes. If we let them go free, they'll wake up all the rest of these Negroes. So Fox, which is Murdoch, he's a Zionist, pro-Israeli hater. Now, each of them were given a television series on Fox. Now, who's doing their writing? See, it's these same people that put us in a step and fetch it bag. See, and they begin to take our brothers down little by little by little by giving them an offer that they can't refuse, because when the enemy come out with the Benjamins, how many of you can resist the lure of Benjamins, that you will betray the future of your people for money and a movie contract and a movie role that these same satanic Jews offer you? Well, rap now is a gangster thing. So 50 Cent, my brother, is rich because he's helping Satan to keep you where you are. He don't know that. He's a good person at heart. He lived a rough life, was shot 9 times. See, but the offer that he got, he said, well, damn, I must be doing something right. I'm rich. You're doing something wrong for your people, but right for Satan. So he can make you rich, but he's already planning to take that away from you. Come on, Jay-Z. I'm going to bring you out of retirement. I want you to write a rap on American Gangsta. Come on, Lucas. Young black people didn't know nothing about him. But you're going to take Denzel, one of our brightest stars that you gave an Oscar to, not for the movie Malcolm X, not for the movie The Bone Collector,
not for his very many wonderful roles, but you gave him an Oscar for playing a corrupted black policeman. You didn't give Halle Berry an Oscar for playing the many good roles that she played, but you gave her an Oscar for her little nasty role with this white man. See, you'll always get an Oscar playing into the enemy's hands. Is that what you want out of life? A hit record where you call your women out of their names? Is that what you want? See, he got that. He prints money every day. It ain't worth much these days, but he'll print more, give it to you, and make you mislead your people. Do you really think they're gonna let Barack Obama really make a change? Come on, talk to me. He's a good person. He means good. He don't know the crap that he's getting into. I know it. I've been shown it from God's perspective. So now, I can close. See, we look like we're the murderers. We look like we're the gangsters. But we are punk stuff. Mr. Lucas, see, if you can come out of seeing that, saying, damn.
Thank you. Thank you and welcome back to the Initiative Radio Network. I'm Sister Pamela. We was listening to our beloved Minister Farrakhan, and the name of that lecture was Justifiable Homicide, Black Youth in Peril. If you would like to, we have a third part, but of course tonight we aren't going to be able to finish it. But you can also go to YouTube and put it up and finish it in its entirety. Or if you would like to purchase it, you can go to finalcallstore.com. And with that, thank you so much for listening. We definitely appreciate your support each and every day. Please come back again and listen to the Initiative Radio. We will have another program tomorrow at with Brother Anthony called the Canary Experience. With that, peace and love. Assalamu alaikum.